life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
We're still fighting for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Yes, everyone, welcome to another episode of The Warm Down, joined today by Jay Motty. What's happening, our kid?
Good to see you again, mate. It's been a little while, hasn't it?
No, not really.
No, that I've been on it.
Oh, since you've been on it. Yeah.
Not been a while since I've seen you. I've seen you far too often.
Yeah.
It was about a year ago, was it, last time you
on? Was it that far?
It was, wasn't it?
But it was in here.
Yeah.
So I don't think it was that long ago.
Was it not?
I don't think so.
Was it beginning of the season?
Last season?
Seems like an eternity.
It does feel like an eternity. Yeah, obviously, City won everything in the meantime, didn't they?
They won a treble.
But yeah, they won a treble, which is obviously better. Now, I didn't actually mean to, we didn't even have a topic, so we're just doing whatever in it. Are people honestly saying they would take a League Cup over a Champions League? Because that's fundamentally what it is, isn't it? The difference.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's some nonsense been spoke about. Let's face facts, right? Yeah, phenomenal achievement in terms of league points and all the rest of it. Yeah, but I think it was you that pointed out, sort of, in terms of points that you gain, doesn't really matter when you start comparing them because it doesn't make sense. Like
the top points. Have separated, yeah.
Yeah, we earned more points under Jose in his last full season than we did in 99.
So we're better.
Yeah.
That's how it works, isn't it? Yeah.
That's it. That's the logic.
Ridiculous.
So it's nonsense.
The points thing is a moot point because the bottom teams have got worse and drifted away, whereas the top six or seven teams have. Think of what you think of La Liga. Yeah, you go, oh, you've got like Atletico, you've got Real Madrid, you've got Barcelona, then you've got, aren't you, right?
Yeah.
That's basically what the Premier League is starting to become. There is a definite separation between that top six and then your likes of. I mean, there's some good teams in that middle section with Leicester, with Wolves, with Everton, but their ability to compete over 38 games. Someone's done a brilliant graph and you can see the slip. It's around about 7th or 8th, it's sort of level, but the lower teams are way worse and are getting slapped more, which is why you're seeing these record point totals come up. Evidenced by the fact, and I'm taking nothing away from City here, because they have still been the best and it's a crazy number of points that they've achieved, but the separation is such that United's team was good enough to win multiple titles in previous years. What does that tell you? Because this, as we know, is a dogshit United team.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, that summed it up, and when you talk about it in terms of like last season was a perfect example, because yeah, we beat everyone, but we lost to everyone as well. So we can't be that great. And to finish on 81 points, which is on paper a decent tally.
Hell of a season.
Yeah, you think
it's title winning tally, really.
So it does show that the disparity, as you said, has increased. Listen, not going to act so bitter. Winning the domestic treble, 14 wins is it on the spin, beating the Scousers, you can't knock them for that. But let's get a bit of sort of rationale in here. It's not, I don't think.
What's also skewing it is that the Premier League top end, people go, well, the Premier League can't be shit because there's four clubs involved in European competition. A valid point.
No, that's a good point.
But the point also is that the top half of that top six of the Premier League has stripped out of everyone else. So the fact that United compete with the likes of PSG, we didn't exactly compete with Barcelona, but like, the fact that all of those clubs can compete without winning stuff in England shows how competitive that six is. And the reason that they're slapping the rest of the league is the rest of the league is just nowhere near it.
It is, and it's worrying. From United point of view,
it is worrying because six into four doesn't go.
No,
and even though top four isn't a trophy, it is an achievement that has to be achieved for sponsorships, for prestige, for competing on the top table. I mean, I actually have enjoyed the fuck out of being in the Champions League this year, despite the fact that I haven't seen us win at home, I think, at all, apart from, was it Valencia we've been?
Fellaini scored the only goal, didn't he? The only...
Yeah, we've scored one goal in the Champions League at
home. Young Boys, last
Young Boys it was, even,
when
yeah.
Jose threw the water.
So, we've had one, essentially, at home. But we've had Juventus come here, we've had Barcelona come here, we've had Paris Saint-Germain. That is what it's all about, competing at the top. I don't want fucking Zalgazeg and fucking whoever, Groningen.
The thing is as well, the way we did...
I have to Google 99% of the fucking opponents.
You're not alone. The way we did the Europa last time as well was almost the perfect way to do it, because it got us into the Champions League, it completed the set...
Yeah.
Let's not pretend as well. We had a horrible tragedy a few days before the final. It brought us all together, gave us a bit of a lift after what had been
a weird feeling being in the final.
Oh no, it was.
I watched it in Tiger, which is 100 metres away where the bomb was. Yeah.
Well, I was going with work at the time. It was met with this all singing, dancing. You know, we're all going to the final, and it was a real sombre mood. But there was that sort of defiance, and I was getting messages off City fans saying good luck.
Yeah. Well, we had the banner in the change room, didn't we? At City United afterwards. You know, like the cordon. We came out of Tiger afterwards. The fucking police cordon is right there as you left.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So it was basically what I'm getting at is that was a good way for us with all that.
To fuck that competition up and never visit
never
it again.
Do it again. And that was the thing. What, you
know,
and now we only said, no, that's the end of that. We don't want to do that again. And then 2 years later, we're back to Googling Eastern European teams.
Fuck's sake. One bonus is that, I mean, to evidence how far apart that disparity is between the top teams and the middle teams, City winning 6-0 in a final.
And it should have been more, shouldn't it?
I didn't watch it.
Mate, I
saw it went to 2-0 and I was like, bonus, we're not starting pre-season next week.
It could have, at one point I thought this is going to be 7 or 8.
It was six.
Yeah, exactly. I thought because it was only, but thankfully it was only six. So
in a final,
this is what I mean though. It is scary, and it is from a United point of view. It worries me a lot because you're watching it, and he drops Aguero for the final, which you know people. Oh, he drops Aguero. I don't even think Aguero came on. I mean, I did lose interest when I was watching it very quickly.
Didn't watch it. Yeah. Couldn't have told you.
But
they could have played Moonchester centre half.
That's what I mean.
They probably could have played Moonchester centre half.
Exactly.
That's the matter of it.
And it's like
Moonchester.
You know, our strongest team that we put out are struggling to beat Dross at the minute.
Watford.
Yeah. And he's putting out not a second string team. He put a strong team out, but he's able to rest or to change his tactics for the game, like we used to do.
Didn't used to do that. We used to rotate a bit, but the rotation would be all academy players in the League Cup. Their rotation is fucking. Mahrez.
Mahrez is getting a start. Your record signing.
It was 80 like million or something they signed
him
for.
It was like, well, he's giving Mahrez a start as a bit of a gamble.
And John Stones, £50 million centre-half. Jesus.
So 140 million quid or 120 million quid's worth of talent there is your gamble. But that's what we're up against. That is it. You know, we can sit here and we're laughing about it and we can grumble about it. But that
otherwise we cry.
It's
shit at the minute. And I think the chickens are coming home to roost big time in terms of our ownership. Yeah. And I think it's a massive, massive issue. And I think it's creating, because people are generally behind the manager, generally, because there is also a pretty large element that's like, we've just hired the fucking a Mould manager that relegated Cardiff. Well, there's more to it than that, isn't there?
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that what he achieved at Moulder is relative to what Fergie achieved prior to going to Aberdeen, really.
I like the way you said prior to Aberdeen. Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
You know, what he was doing, East Stirlingshire and Queen of the South and stuff like that. I think that's a relative sort of level. What he did with Aberdeen was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And Ollie hasn't done that. But there's not anyone. If anyone was doing that in world football, they would have been snapped up by now.
Yeah, I mean, you're in a one-season syndrome now. You have one good season in world football anywhere at a fairly decent level.
Once good or bad, and
looking at you,
you move on. Yeah. Whether that's into a better place or you get sacked, like the no one's. If Fergie joined United today, on the back of what he did in Scotland, just completely copy and paste those circumstances over the club right now. You know, me and my dad have joked about it for a while. He had a couple of record signings, and you'd gone from the swashbuckling Ron Atkinson style football where there probably wasn't tactics, it was just kind of attack at all costs, which they did quite well with a lot of fan favourites, the likes of your Whitesides, your McGraths, and all that lot. And then this dour Scotch cunt comes in and he drops all the fan favourites. He brings his fucking mates like Gordon Strachan and like, you're now playing this fucking boring football. You're 1-0 in teams. I can imagine it would have been horrific. And he's not won out.
Yeah.
And he's not won out again. And think about this. Ron Atkinson finished 4-4, 3rd, 3rd, or 3rd, 3rd, 4-4, something like that. Which is Champions League now. Fuck all in the 80s, but it was Champions League qualification now. Good couple of cup runs, some decent nights at Old Trafford. Fergie comes in and he goes, I think he finishes 11th, then 13th, then 2nd, then 13th again. Yeah. There's no way he survives that.
No, I think that's...
He took us backwards!
It's that whole ta-ra Fergie and all the rest of it, you know, 3 years of crap. You know, the board gave him time and obviously it was worth it, but in this day and age, would he have been given that time?
I think he finishes I think the second season he's gone.
Yeah,
exactly. I think he lasts 18 months.
I mean, as well, there's, you know, always different...
Get George Graham in! League.
Well, no, it would have been, you know... There was sort of one of Howard Kendall as well, muted, of Robbo being given it as a player manager. There was all sorts of rumours flying around. I don't know how many of them are true. But, yeah, no, it wouldn't have happened. And now it's going to be interesting to see how Ollie gets in, because I've said, I know you've said it yourself, the problem I've got with this bad run we've had under Ollie is it puts him under pressure straight away next season.
Yeah.
I think had it been reversed, had we had... 12,
shit.
Amazing, and finished 6th, you'd be like, all right, he's cracked it, he's got it right, we're moving in the right direction. But now the question marks are already there. So if we start, say, the season, and we lose 3 out of the first 5 even, people are going to be saying, I'm going to say people, I mean the board, who don't have a dog in the fight, and are just going to be like...
Who apparently think Marshall's Pelly.
He's watched Escapes of Itch, and he got carried away. He has, I know.
He's like... Who's that Sylvester Stallone fella play for?
He's watched the Viagra advert and got a bit confused and thought, can we get to flog Viagra for us?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I don't want to make it. I don't know whether these stories are true or not, but the fact is, they could be true because our club is that much of a joke at the minute with the men in...
People are like, they can't continue. Here's the problem. When you're an owners that own an MLS franchise, and I fucking despise that word... Owners that own an MLS franchise and owners that own a football club. MLS franchise, what's the worst that happens? Well, you didn't win anything this year. You get a good pick in the draft.
Right.
What's the...
Because I don't know anything about American sports.
Well, about as much as they know about fucking English sports.
Right.
Then.
Okay, yeah.
So the worst thing that could possibly happen for you as an MLS... I mean NFL. As an American football team is that you come bottom of the league... There's no relegation.
No.
There's no European qualification, continental qualification that you need to achieve. You either make the playoffs and win the Super Bowl, or you make the playoffs, have a decent run, don't make the Super Bowl, or you just finish wherever in the season, and that's it.
Right.
But the lower you finish, the better pick you get in the draft next year.
Right, okay.
So
right,
it's almost like not a reward, I guess, but it's a runners-up prize for you was really shit, but you get first pick.
Oh, right, okay, right.
Because obviously American sports is relatively competitive because that's... Essentially, 99% of people's way into the sport is through the draft. There's also people that get picked up as free agents and train on with people in like what we would consider a traditional sort of academy sort of route, but it's really, really, really rare. You right. basically play at college level, which, you know, 70, 80,000 fucking people watching it. That's their academy level, and then they get brought into the pro league. With a football team, if you don't maintain European competition... For a team like United, you're fucked.
Yeah.
If you then slip out of even, because let's be honest, there's teams that are putting pressure on us now in terms of Wolves, in terms of Everton, in terms of Watford. If we slip below that, we are double fucked.
Yeah.
And that debt that's hanging over us, still over £500 million, is not going to get paid off quick time if we're not sitting at the top table of English football.
It's like you said it, I think a few years ago, me and you were chatting, and you mentioned about... If you look at each club now, each club is going for it. You had Liverpool with Klopp, or each club has that expectation. You had Spurs with Poch. You've got Chelsea at the time. I think had Conte. City and just Pep had just come in. Then there was us. And then you've got the other teams that have got those sort of ambitions, like your Everton's and the rest of it. So it doesn't make sense mathematically. You know, someone's got to miss out. And there is a good chance that could be us, if it is at the minute.
If they are only willing to put in to achieve bare minimum,
yeah,
you're going to be overtaken by those achieving excellence or aiming to achieve excellence and missing.
And you throw a wild card in the mix. A few years ago, it was Leicester. You just, you know, exceed all expectations, then you're in serious trouble. We have a wild card next season, we could seriously end up in trouble.
What about Wolves?
Yeah.
Are you telling me that Wolves prove they can compete with the top six by the results that they had against...
Well, I think, it was off the park three times this season.
But they've... I think they beat everyone in the top six, I think. I'm sure the comments are fucking one finger typing dead mad now, like, they fucking... But either way, they had a good set of results against the top six. So if they can tighten up their results against some of the lower teams...
It's a different...
Wolves are now a competing team.
It's a different attraction now, isn't it, for Wolves? Because if you go into a player as Wolves manager and saying, come to Wolves... A season ago, people were probably thinking, no, you're all right.
But project's going to go tits
yeah,
up.
Now you're thinking, he seems like a top manager, they play great football, the fans, you know, good fans, good set of fans.
New stadium being built looks amazing.
So if the money's right, why not? And
George Mendes is pulling the strings, so that's a powerful figure. It's almost like a Bond figure.
Yeah, exactly, and you can't blame him because it's easy for us to sit and judge it and say whatever, but... They haven't got the money to throw at something that we have, so they're doing it their way, and it's working for them. So it's getting difficult. It's getting, you know, increasingly troublesome.
And seven into four doesn't go.
No, it doesn't. Other than that, though, it's all right.
Yeah, apart from that, it's mint.
Yeah.
It's sunny today. It's a rarity.
99 anniversary's coming on. Let's just focus on that. Just remember the good times.
Can you imagine the state of the club 20 years ago versus the state of the club now? I thought it was going to win everything forever, me.
I did.
Yeah. I didn't think it was ever going to stop.
Yeah, that was one of the reasons I didn't go to the new camp. I was skinned, but I was like, don't worry, I'll go next.
I'll go next year?
Yeah.
Is it Monaco dumped it out next year?
There'll be loads of these to come.
Fuck's sake.
I was younger than that.
Well, to be fair,
we did have two more.
The amount of FA Cup finals that we'd had in the 90s, you'd expect.
I know we didn't have three more, so. Yeah,
you'd expect there was going to be a right level.
I thought this was it, man.
What we did in England, we're going to do.
Do you know what I mean? Dwight York's going to see us through to five finals or whatever.
Oh, how good was that 99 team, though?
Mint. Best ever. Best ever team, the Premier League team. Name your better Premier League team.
2008 Premier League United team.
I don't know, man. Maybe. It's close. I'll give you that. It is close, but... I just think it's slightly tips it for me.
Is that because of the key age you was watching it and they just sort of fall in love with them and, like, is Cantona the best footballer ever? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Am I going to fight anyone that says he was shit, though? Absolutely.
No, I'm with you. I always, one of my favourite teams is the 94 team. I love that team. The way they played, I was only a kid at the time, I was 14. If you look at our results, we didn't go out and batter teams like 6-5-0 like that, over what we're doing now, but the games were so exciting, and we won the double, and we got to the League Cup final. People forget that, until recently. We were the closest team to come to a domestic treble, and also the 3-4 in a row fucked us in Europe.
Big time.
Yeah, so...
That's why that team never really gets spoken about properly, is because that's the team that got absolutely bitch-slapped by Barcelona.
Yeah, and people just say, well, you can't be that good, you're terrible against Barcelona. But we had Gary Walsh in there. No disrespect to Gary Walsh, but he's not...
Nicky Butt was 17.
Nicky Butt was in his pram getting wheeled on. Mate, it was like players that, even as a United fan, you'd forgot about. Like, oh, you know, I forgot we still had him. Yeah, we're getting...
There was some... I think Lee Martin might have still played. Like,
Lee Martin was getting games.
It was a mad game. It was a mad game. When you look at that team sheet and you look at what was available and what didn't play, you're like...
People forget as well. I mean, again, people criticising the comments wrong, but I'm pretty sure that season, Milan battered Barca in the Champions League final. Because Milan weren't really reliant on foreign players.
Sounds about right. I don't think they won it.
Did they win it? I think Milan won 4-0 in the Champions League final in 94, if memory serves it. And I don't even think Milan used the three foreigners they had at their disposal. I think they used two. Because they had an Italian team, basically, with one or two foreigners.
One of my favourite non-United teams is the 88 and 89... or 89 and 90 winners of the European Cup, as it still was at the time, which is AC Milan, the last team to win it back-to-back before Real Madrid just decided they was keeping it for a bit.
Yeah.
And that was an Italian team, the likes of Ancelotti, Baresi, Maldini. I mean, this is just the who's who of...
Classic team.
And then three Dutch boys. Rijkaard, Hullet,
Van Basten.
Not bad.
Not a bad trio. If you could have three foreigners, stick them for
not
you.
Bad.
Yeah.
Not bad. And that's one of my favourite scenes. I mean, played 4-4-2, defensive and boring as fuck, but mint at the same time. I don't know what it was. Just something about that Italian-Dutch sort of connection. Yeah. And Marco Van Basten and Ruud Gullit were spectacularly good.
It was a shame with Van Basten, wasn't it? Because he got that injury and you know, we probably didn't see his best years, if we're being honest. I think we saw amazing time from him, but I think, you know, when he was, I think his late 20s, correct me if I'm wrong, we didn't...
I'm sure, yeah, he was done early doors, I think. That was a hell of a team, but it was a pure Italian team, and that's it. Your three foreigners is them three, whereas our foreigners is Dennis Irwin's foreign, Ryan Giggs is foreign, Mark Hughes is foreign. Obviously Schmeichel, Cantona, foreign. They're all foreign, and you're just like, oh shit, we got no one.
Yeah, we didn't. Like you say, you're pucking out.
Go and get Gary Walsh.
You're pucking out kids and reserves.
It was. Yeah. And that's, well, I think Gary Neville got his debut against Torpedo Moscow, I think.
Simon Davies, people.
Yeah, like games. Just they all got games because of that foreigner rule, and that might have been one of the catalysts for why the class of 92 firstly got a chance, and secondly took the chance.
I'd love to see the three foreigner rule being brought back in now.
Be mint, wouldn't it? I think we'd Have we heard it's happening? Is that why we're signing up the likes of Sessegnon and stuff like that?
Yeah, exactly. He's the other kid we were touted with the other day, Longstaff. I had to Google.
I think he's Scottish.
I don't know. See, I mean, sorry, Sean. I don't know. I
don't think he watches.
Right.
I mean,
I'm hearing his names like Daniel James. I'm not knocking his players before him, just because they're not a superstar. But I don't know who they are. So you say to me, Daniel James. I don't really know him. Sean Longstaff, don't really know him.
No, I mean, I watched the game that he played against City, but and I was like,
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it's actually a step in the right direction for us.
Well, it's certainly not a Woodward signing, is it?
No, do you know what I mean? He's not going to be asking for 500k a week, and you're not going to be putting him in front of a piano to announce it either.
And maybe that shift in focus is what United really need. Maybe that shift in focus is what United have lacked. Maybe that shift in focus is what has been not the cause of, but a symptom of our issues in the last 5 years. But I think our issues with the Glazers go back to the day they bought us. If you look at the seasons preceding the Glazer buyout, we signed Juan Verón, Rio Ferdinand, Wayne Rooney, Cristiano Ronaldo, Rude, some wow signings. Yeah. Like the equivalent now is if United was like, how about fucking Mbappe? And you go, wow.
Yeah.
That level of signing. If United had signed De Ligt and Mbappe, that was the equivalent of signing Rio and Rooney or something like that.
No, you're right, because the difference with Ronaldo is he was a bit of an...
Yeah, Ronaldo was...
People didn't know, really.
No, he certainly wasn't your Mbappe kind of signing. Rooney. That might have been a João Felix.
Yeah, good shout. Rooney had been the star of Euro 2004.
That's your Mbappe.
Mega star. Rio, most expensive defender in the world.
That's your delete.
Yeah.
Got to a Champions League semi-final with Leeds, got to a Champions League semi-final with that.
Exactly.
It's fucking like-for-like, perfect.
And it's funny that, because I was talking about this 2003 summer the other day, because we bought around that time as well. A lot of other youngsters who didn't quite work out, we brought in like the Bellions and the
oh, was this? Miller,
it was around that time, but obviously we had a Ronaldo, and we had a Rooney, and Rio, and the rest of it. And now I wonder if it's sort of going to be a similar thing where we buy a few youngsters, and maybe one or two of them are good enough, and the others don't make it.
Well, you didn't spend too much on them; it don't matter.
Yeah, well, that's it, and I think that might be what we have to do because we can't keep spending massive amounts of money.
Well, at what point do you go, an Mbappe signing is probably going to cost you in excess of 200-300 million?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Clubs aren't worth that much.
Right.
At what point do you start buying a club instead?
Yeah. Well, this is it. It's crazy. And like you saying, the risk is less. How many times can you get it wrong? Do you know what I mean? All right, Mbappe is a bit different because he's that young. You get it wrong, he moves on, you're still getting him back or whatever. Mm. But like with Sanchez, whatever we spent on his wages, that's, you know, it's dead money. Lukaku would probably take a hit on if he goes, not a massive one, but because I still think
you probably get 50-60 million. Yeah,
you're taking a bit of a hit. Pogba, you
make I think you should make profit. Yeah,
yeah, but you know, you're taking a gamble if you're spending like 100 million, 90 million, and is that really what we need to be doing right now as a club? Throwing more money at it, because we're going to have to pay a premium because we're not in the Champions League. Mm. So any player, you know, unless you've got a die-hard United fan, which is very rare on the world stage, you're going to have to pay extra. So I just think, yeah, the question is, can we stomach it? Can we stomach a couple of years of seeing these youngsters progress?
I can. I absolutely can.
I can, personally. It's just as a club and as a fan base.
But is that, I mean, there's one way of saying, I can stomach us, like, not taking our foot off the gas, but, like, being serious about a rebuild to come back and have a sustained go at it. But there's also, are we actually doing that? Is there a plan in place that says we're doing that? Or is that a symptom? Are we looking at what's happened and saying we're taking time to rebuild. But we're not actually rebuilding. We've just gone fucking well off the boil. That's my issue, is that unless someone from the board even comes out and says, or the management, I'd like to know, where's the expectation level? I mean, you get lied to, even by Ollie, in a press conference. All managers have an agenda. All managers are protecting something in a press conference. And I wish they could be honest, where he come out and go, do you know what? We're not at that level. Here's how I'm going to get to that level. I'm going to sign... Maybe didn't drop names, but I'm going to sign a certain calibre of player that we believe is going to take us to that next level. It's going to take a couple of years. Give me the patience, give me the time, and we get back to where we belong. If he was able to come out and say that, but I bet you're not even allowed to say that, because I bet they're going, have a line about being at the top right now. So you can't actually say that we're rebuilding. Like, there's probably some mad sponsor thing where you have to say you're going to win everything in every pre-season.
And it's, you know,
it's not realistic.
We need a bit of realism. You sort of words around our mouth there. We need, you know, we need to get realistic about where we are and what we're doing, because at the minute, we're living in a cloud cuckoo land a little bit in terms of expectations and reality. We're seeing these teams, we've seen what they're achieving, we've seen the money that's being spent, and plus we're up against other major European teams that are also rebuilding. We have got Real Madrid in their biggest rebuild, probably.
They might spend 600-700 million this summer.
I won't count it out. That's even, and this sounds crackers because you know the way they've been in the Liga, but Barca, that's hurt them again in Europe. They're rebuilding. I think looking at they in for the lit today. Am I right in thinking?
I think because
Vega, don't quote me.
Obviously. Other clubs have come in, and I wouldn't put it past City and ourselves to be in there driving that price up. Apparently, he's asked for a bit more cash now.
Really?
Nature of the game, isn't it?
Shock. But yeah, this is what I mean.
Raiola's his agent. That was always a given.
Yeah. So you've got these like superpowers who've also got money, who are rebuilding, and kind of a carrot of come and play for us. Then you've got the teams that have been successful in England, like the likes of Liverpool and City, are going to probably have one or two signings. And then you've got Spurs are going to spend as well this summer. I know they don't usually spend, but I can see them realising, listen, if we spend a bit of money, probably we're in for a title challenge.
Yeah, put us in the mix.
If we don't win the Champions League, and had we spent 50 mil, we might have won it.
That was my issue with the Poch apologists last season. Now, I know I'm sitting here now, he might go and win the Champions League in 2 weeks. Please.
That's what it's come to. I'll be there. My Spurs kit, I don't care. I'm sat home in my Spurs top. Not a problem.
I think my problem with Spurs apologies, he didn't even spend anything. Do you know in the 90s, United was outspent in the 90s by both Liverpool and Newcastle.
That makes sense.
Newcastle doubled our spend. Right. Fergie had negative spend seasons in the 90s.
Do you remember
and
that's
dominated.
Like, that's like the 96 season. We bought Tony Cowan. And that was it, I think. Pretty sure.
That might have been one of the negative ones, because I think we got rid of Hughes, Konchelskis, and Ince.
Yeah, we went out. Imagine now. Imagine last season we'd only bought Lee Grant.
Hang on. Imagine this summer, you mean? This summer, you mean, where we lose Pogba, Lukaku and De Gea?
Yeah, and we go out and we buy, you know, I don't know.
And we just promote everyone else?
Yeah.
And we win a double next year. That's essentially what happened in 95-96. And our star player was banned for, like, over a couple of months at the start of the season.
Yeah, Otobi came back in there. This is the thing, I mean, we were so lucky, because you're not going to get a crop of youngsters like the class of 92 again. People think that can happen again. It can't. It won't.
To the point where they win a Youth Cup and then win a Champions League 7 years later.
Yeah. And you've got half the England team just coming through. Do you know what I mean? At the same time, in the same academy. Ain't going to happen. That was just a complete one-off. And football's changed now, which you wouldn't have
seen. Because United collect a hell of a lot of good youngsters. Now, they might not all be the same nationality.
Yeah.
But you could theoretically see they're not all the same age group, but the class of 92 is a branding thing.
It's different as well, because like you say, Giggs is obviously Welsh. Neville was a year younger than him. Giggs was a year older than him.
Yeah, there was all. Like, it's a bit of branding.
It is a bit of branding, isn't it?
But you could have Axel Tuanzebe. He's good enough for the first team.
I don't disagree.
You could have Angel, you could have Marcus, you could have Mason Greenwood. Now, there are five different age groups in there, but they all could.
Yeah, you get it together.
And out of those, you're looking at Beckham, Giggs and Scholes as seriously elite, world-class players. I think Gary Neville, probably world-class, but bordered it a little bit. I think he was very, very good and perfect for what we needed, but I don't think he was ever on the same level as Giggs and Scholes and Beckham. Nicky Butt probably just underneath what Gary was. Wasn't a really a first-choice player at United. Plugged up gaps. Mint was an excellent squad player, which you need.
Yeah.
And then Phil Neville.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it wasn't like, you know, we pulled in a ton of world-class players.
I just don't think, I think we sort of had this romantic idea that maybe one day there'll be another five youngsters or something that comes through the ranks roughly the same time to do that similar
thing. Why aren't we in the middle of that now? We might be in the middle of that now.
I don't know. I think it's wishful thinking.
And also, you've got McTominay as well.
Listen, I was one of those that sort of looked down my nose a little bit. McTominay thought, really, is this what it comes to? But performance-wise, you can't fault him. You can't fault him. And let's have it right, he's not had an easy baptism into Manchester United.
No.
You know, do you want to go and play centre-back when you're a midfielder in a three?
I spoke to some of our West Ham whilst
other established defenders are substituted in front of you.
I spoke to some people that came through with McTominay, shall we say, who had been played both forward and back, centre-midfielders, but they'd been asked to fill in up front and they've also been asked to fill in defence. And I was talking to him about it and I said, surely it's easier to go back. The game's more in front of you. You've got a bit more time. Fucking hate it.
Really?
Absolutely hate it. Yeah. He goes, I know it's only 20 yard away. He goes, but it's a whole different game. He goes, and I'm just can't deal with it.
Fair enough. Well, this is what I mean. And he, you know, regardless of how successful or good he was, he did it, got on with it. And, you know, I've said it a million times, I don't keep repeating myself. Scott McTominay's not an issue.
No.
He's not a problem.
He's not, is he, Jay?
I know where you're going with this.
Do you?
You've got that look. This is where I get the tweet that says, Jay. Someone tweeted the other day and he said, I love these tweets that you now sort of have because I always saw, like, Ashley Young, leader of men, Jay. If only everyone had the effort of Ashley Young, Jay. It's not even an argument anymore, me and you. It's just like, Jay, listen, you know, our problems shouldn't be a 33-year-old winger playing at right back.
They are, though.
But that's a symptom of what has gone on at the club, and it's not his fault. And I keep saying this, why is it that the manager gets a pass with this?
No, I think it's totally valid.
We all stood there after the Barcelona game at home, yeah? And I've defended Ashley Young, but I'm not completely stupid on some will disagree. That was a terrible game from him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently he didn't find a United shirt too often. Yeah. So your answer to that is, at the away leg, right, to play him again after he's just had an absolute stinker against Barca at home, at left back, so he's already, that's his least favourite full-back position. That's your tactical news now, Stephen. Now, how does that compute? How is that not the manager's fault? How can every single United fan I spoke to outside Old Trafford or just on social media or whatever have noticed that tactic wasn't working in the home game, not change it, and then in the away leg, before the game, everyone's saying, why has he done that with Ashley Young? I know Shaw was injured, but
it's indefensible.
No one blames Ole. Everyone goes, oh, Young, you rubbish. Young, he's getting picked, he's playing, he's trying his best. It's not good enough. I get that. But why is the manager getting a complete pass in this?
It's not been good enough, for 4 or 5 years, at least.
He thinks this is Watford days. I get where you're coming from. We can go over that.
I think Ollie has to take some responsibility.
If we line
up at the first weekend in August next season, and he's wearing a captain's armband leading us out, what the fuck?
Well, there you go.
What the fuck?
He's not going to get any better now. He's not going to improve. But he's trying his best, which, granted, isn't good enough, right? But why isn't the manager taking some responsibility? Why isn't the manager seeing what all we, even his defenders, his supporters like myself, who say, you know what, he tries better, he is verbal on the pitch, I like that fact. No, he is.
Jay, I've been verbal on the pitch.
Yeah, but you say that, right? And I get that's not good, that's not enough to put you in the team, otherwise we could stick a house on.
I'll take my boots.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll do it for about 100 grand a week, not even 130.
Why is he the only one who's talking? Why has he got that captain's armband if he's so poor? Because there isn't any better options in terms of a leader. And that's where the problem is. It's not him, it's the people above who are making these decisions. Why are we in a position where, was it in 2011 we got knocked out of Champions League and he was starting on the wing? And in 2019 we get knocked out and he's starting at full back. How is that a progression?
8 years. It's been the hardest 8 years of my life.
Mate, I had hair 8 years ago. I was shredded. Yeah, I've not had hair since the 90s.
Just comfort eating pizza and drinking beer.
Exactly. a lot of it in them 8 years. Judging how far football. But this is what I'm saying to you. It's like, and I think there is a small possibility that he could be starting next season as captain.
I don't think it's a small possibility.
Honestly. And that worries me. I'm the massive fan of Adam Wan-Bissaka, and I think he's got to get that transfer now, get it done early doors, get him in.
Whatever it costs.
Yeah, it makes so much sense that it probably won't happen. Get that done. It doesn't it? You know, yeah. I have my doubts against Lee Shaw, I'll be honest with you. I know he's our player of the year, and that makes something ridiculous. But I still don't think he's had a great season.
It was one of them, just sometimes you watch boxing, and you go, I don't know how he gave him that round. But four or five of them, like, just edged it round.
Yeah.
You win the fight.
Get player of the month like four times.
Three times consecutively, I think. And I go, and ultimately they've looked at that and gone, oh, fucking give it in player.
I mean, the fact that, there's a sad indictment of our club. We've got England's not even second choice left back as our player of the year. Can you, you know, I mean, there's no, we've had, I remember when Gabriel Heinze was player of the year, he's a left back, there's nothing wrong with that. But he was also a mint. Luke Shaw isn't as good as Chilwell, but he's our best player. That's where we're at the minute. And it's really, really worrying when you say it out loud. I don't know if I'm saying it in the head or on Twitter, but when you actually verbalise it, it's deflated. So, yeah, we need some fucking signings, mate. And, you know, I hope we don't see Ashley Young starting as captain.
It's mad.
But if we do, it's not his fault.
If we do,
it's decision makers above.
Just realise how fucked we are. Because, you know, you don't improve a team by buying better players. You improve a team... That's technically wrong. But
someone's going to take that as a clip now. And that's going to bite you.
You don't improve a team by improving your better players. You improve a team by replacing your worst player. You replace your worst player, you improve the team.
Yeah.
That's how you do it. And you eliminate mistakes. And that's going back to one of Jose's philosophies. But to be honest... Guy won a lot of shit. He does know what he's talking about. I disagree with some of the points of Jose's thing. He talks about fear a lot when he talks about his philosophy. The team who has the ball has fear. I disagree with that. That's a fundamental part of Jose's philosophy and probably why he was never really, truly right for United. But, you know, he talks about if you have fear, you make mistakes. If you have the ball, you make mistakes. The team who makes the least mistakes wins the game. I agree with the sentiment that you make the least mistakes, you win the game. Obviously, I played professional rugby league. That's all about mistakes. Mistakes get capitalised, people score. So the mistakes thing is a big thing for me, as is holding possession. Holding possession, I think you don't concede if you've got the ball.
It's funny you say that as well, because we're now in an era where it is almost at a point with some of these teams where you make one mistake and that's the game. If we're being honest, the levels that Liverpool, City, to a lesser extent...
Wolves.
Wolves, yeah. What, Huddersfield?
Fuck's sake.
Right. Yeah, I mean, no. But we're at that point
Cardiff.
Where... Yeah, Cardiff. I wish I hadn't gone down this road. It's going to make me clinically depressed. But you get what I mean? Like, we can go on, can't we? We just... Shit. But one mistake in a game nowadays, is that can be it. Do you know what I mean? And even in... We've seen it in the title race. Like, 40, what was it? Say, did 14 on the spin, he won.
One wobble when it was over.
That was it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That was a who blinked first.
We'll take that. We'll take that draw at Old Trafford. I've seen that narrative. I'm on board with that one. I'll
have
that. Yeah. We
will be selling mugs by the end of the week.
Yeah. We stopped Liverpool winning the
title. Was lost at Old Trafford.
Yeah. As Marcus hobbled around.
Yeah. Four injuries in the first half. Not recovered from that. And this is another criticism. People are absolutely slandering Rashford at the moment.
But let's agree. We agree on this one big time because I think that's shocking.
Yeah, I'm going to do a video about this tomorrow. The title of which will be "It's Not About Manchester," because I think there's a lot of people riding agendas to say it's a Mancunian thing.
Why has this come about, right? Where you're getting stick because you're from Manchester?
I'll cover it in depth tomorrow. But the word I'm going to say on it is, it's not the fact that he's from Manchester. It's the fact that he's a United fan. Is why maybe sometimes he gets a pass because there's other people that get it as well. Ander Herrera got it, not from Manchester. David Beckham got it from London. You know what I mean? It's not about
Patrice,
where you're from. Patrice gets it.
He's got it. Probably more than most players since the last 20 years. But, no. I mean, I think for me, you can see with Marcus, he tries. And sometimes he needs probably maybe taking out the firing line for his own good.
Yeah, he does.
He plays for injuries when he shouldn't be playing. Going back to the Liverpool game, the guy was hobbling around. And
I know that he's injured right now. I know that he's been at the hospital this week, right? I know that he's probably going to go to England. And I don't think that's the best move, but that's what I think is going to happen.
See the Chelsea game, he came off with a shoulder injury. And after the game, Ollie says he had his shoulder strapped up before the game. He's obviously carrying an injury. And then
that's from company. He can't lift his arm above his head. Now, can you jump if you can't get your arm above your head? You probably can, but not very well. You look like a stupid fish.
Again, it goes to this thing, and it doesn't make any sense to me. You're saying, right, or people are saying, Marcus isn't good enough, or Marcus isn't playing at level we need. So why are we so reliant on him? Why, even when he's half fit, is he starting?
Because some players, I'm not going to name the names, but some that you'll be surprised at, I'll tell you off air, but some that you'll be very surprised at, who haven't been injured, have pulled out, or have had something you'd play through and gone, now I'm injured. Worrying. Whereas Marcus goes, if you want me, I'm there.
See him after the derby? That's a fan, that.
Well, he said, as a fan.
Yeah. That's not a player saying, we've just lost the game, let's go and have a selfie with Aguero. That's a fan saying, I've just lost the Manchester derby against them lot, and I'm fuming.
Yeah.
And I'm not having it.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And yeah, and I'll be the first to admit, he hasn't been playing at the level he should, because I think he's an amazingly gifted player and his goal ratios have gone down and all the rest of it. But again, you know, A, we're over-reliant on him. He should have been dropped or rested.
You know, he lost.
He's injured.
There's more fat on his table than there is on Marcus Rashford.
He's not got it to lose.
No. And he'd lost 2 kilograms through illness about a month ago. So he's had injury, then illness, then he gets that sorted and company clatters him.
But you know,
he's just had a horrible end to the season.
This is the thing, right? Any other fan base would be like supporting that, giving him credit. And instead, it's like, let's rip him apart.
Because there's toxic like, elements of our fan base.
I've seen things like people comparing him to Mbappe negatively. When Mbappe
might be a once-in-a-generation player.
Does that mean you're not
Rashford's
you're
actually
not
got better numbers than Ronaldo did in them first few years. Now, this next season, Ronaldo goes and comes second in Ballon d'Or and scores 23 goals, I think, this next season. Coming. That's what Ronaldo went
to. 2006, 2007?
Yeah, post-World Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is where Ronaldo kicked on. But right up until now, there's a handful of games in it, but essentially there's more goals for Marcus in a way worse team. Marcus is not playing with Giggs. He's not playing with Scholes. He's not playing with Rude. He's not playing with Roy Keane. He doesn't have Vidic and Rio in defence behind him. That's what Ronaldo had.
Yeah.
And Rashford has done the same sort of numbers, playing in pretty similar positions with pretty similar responsibilities. I'm not saying he's going to be better than Ronaldo.
No.
I think that's a ridiculous suggestion that he's even going to be, if he gets half of what Ronaldo's achieved in his career, he's had a phenomenal career.
I'm absolutely over the moon.
I'll build a statue myself out of milk bottle tops, right? All I'm saying is the fact that he's gone on to do what Ronaldo did in that time, in the same amount of time, means that he's earned the chance to have patience. He's earned the chance to see what he can do with a full pre-season.
Yeah.
See what he does when he starts with a manager that actually wants him to be there. People try and defend Mourinho by saying, you say Mourinho never liked him, but he played him every week. Played him every week because Marcus forced his way into the team, not because he liked him, not because he nurtured him. Now, did he start Marcus if he had another option?
No.
We had Marshall there, he bought Zlatan, and then he bought Lukaku. All players who play in his position, then he bought Sanchez.
Yeah.
So every season, Mourinho tried to replace Marcus Rashford, but Marcus kept there through work rate, through attitude. I'm seeing people saying he's got a bad attitude. Some of them citing that he's asked for 300 grand a week. Trust me, just listen to what I'm saying. Trust me, you could not be further from the fucking
truth.
People
quoting a certain newspaper, I won't even the time of day, which I won't use as toilet paper, and then people are saying it's facts.
When it suits.
Yeah, I've read it in that newspaper that it talks
so
it happened, garbage all the time.
But it must be obviously true.
And I've seen someone else saying, this is another one, this is one of my bugbears when it comes to, we can talk about racing football and all this, but too often when it's a good black player, I hear about his physicality, he's strong, he's fast, he's powerful, that's it, he's athletic. Do you know what I mean? Kevin De Bruyne goes past the player, he's skillful, he's majestic, he's creative. Marcus does it, he's quick. Yeah. And it's not, people saying it, he's fast. That's the case. You're saying Bolt would be playing for United. No, he's not.
Manage it at Mariners.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? He's an amazingly gifted player. He just needs a bit of patience. He's had a lot of injuries. He's had knocks. He's reached a decent level for his age, 21. His numbers are good.
Can you imagine the shit Ronaldo would have got if Twitter existed in 2003? This fucking step-over shit, diving merchant.
He was getting it bad enough on the terraces when he was doing all them step-overs and going missing.
Diving, step-overs, shit hairdos.
Falling out with his teammates. Imagine
how many times did he hit the floor in a game?
You know, when Fergie chose Ronaldo over Rude Ronaldo. Imagine it now if, like, you know, Ollie came out and said, I'm selling Pogba, he's not getting on with Marcus. He'd be outside his house with Pitch Fox. Seriously.
It's mad. The game's changed, and I don't know if it's changed for the better. Anyway, we're old, and we'll wrap it up there. Thanks for watching. Go and check Jay out on Twitter at RFFH, which stands for Red Flag Flying. But on what you were saying, I did throw a tweet out this morning, actually, saying it looks like Rashford's replaced Sterling as the young, black, gifted athlete.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. He's filling that void because we need to criticise. We need to say, mention Bling, and he's fast, and he's got a bad attitude, and he's arrogant.
Oh yeah, Bling's coming.
Bling, yeah,
Bling's coming. Definitely,
you know,
coming.
He's Bling. He's Bling. He's ghetto.
Fucking ridiculous. Thank you guys for watching. Make sure to subscribe, and I will see you in the next one. Laters.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
It never happens at a good time. The pipe bursts at midnight. The heater quits on the coldest night. Suddenly, you're overwhelmed. That's when Home Serve is here. For $4.99 a month, you're never alone. Just call their 24/7 hotline and a local pro is on the way. Trusted by millions, Home Serve delivers peace of mind when you need it most. For plans starting at just $4.99 a month, go to homeserve.com. That's homeserve.com. Not available everywhere. Most plans range between $4.99 to $11.99 a month your first year. Terms apply on covered repairs.